Well, I was looking at Proverbs 3:5. Let's turn there and we'll set the stage for this.
Do you need this overhead light on?
No, this is fine. Thank you. So Proverbs 3:5. The first word there says trust, right? So that's what we're going to look at today, trust. Actually, I'll title this teaching A Matter of Trust. The word trust means a firm belief in the faithfulness, ability, strength of someone or something. It's a general Webster dictionary, right? So it's a firm reliance on the reliability, ability, and strength of someone or something. So, for example, we do this every day. We trust that if your paycheck is electronically deposited, it's going to be in there on Friday or whatever day they tell you. When you put a little stamp on a letter, you write out an address, you throw it in a box, and somehow it gets to the destination, you trust that it's going to go there. You're trusting the system and or the people within the system. You're trusting, you would invest money. I work at Vanguard. So people are putting money in financial institutions, and they trust that they'll be handled properly, appropriately, except if it's Wells Fargo, then you get screwed. So I put it in Vanguard. They don't screw it. Little pun there. But see, we trust all these things. I trust my car is going to get me here on time. You don't think that, like, oh, I got to trust today, you know, to get my car here. But you rely on that car. Now, the car's fallible, the mailman's fallible, the systems are fallible, they can break down, there are breaks in computer systems and so forth. So, but we still basically trust in those systems, right? You go to a doctor, you trust that he knows what he's doing. So all these factors, we do this every day, and it is a lot of stress and strain usually, right? We expect it to work. Or expect it to perform as intended. So, with that said, let's turn to, we're going to see the next verse. It says, trust, and it says, in who? In the Lord now. Now we're not trusting in systems or process. We're trusting in the Lord. He's the one. So, we're going to look at some characteristics of God so that would enable us to trust in him, you know, which is character, which is abilities, it's his strength, and so forth. So look at Deuteronomy 7:9. Deuteronomy says, know therefore that the Lord, 7:9, yep. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The word God is Elohim, the creator. He is God, the creator. So you just, when you read that, it's just like he's God. He's God, the creator, you know, that's who he is, right? The faithful God, see, which keepeth covenant mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He's the faithful God. He's the creator. Look at Genesis 1. This is the God it's talking about right here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created, right? That's the God who's the faithful God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, right? So he's the faithful God. So it seems like he has some ability here, right? Some strength. We're going to have to look at his reliability, though. You could have ability and strength, but if you're not reliable, it's no good, right? So look at verse 3, and we'll see how reliable his word is. Because you don't get to know someone, like, we know God through his word. Right. There's a verse, you don't have to turn it there, it says in Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So they that know thy name, they know about God, will you put your trust in them? Same thing we do. Before we really put our trust in things or people, we have to know something about them to build that trust, even if it's a little smidgen. But if I say, hey, give me your money, I'm going to invest it and make you a millionaire, I don't think too many people are going to do that until they find something like track record or some characteristics about me. See if I was arrested for fraud at one time or whatever, right? So the whole point here is, let's see if God's reliable through his word. He tells us through his word, and we can see examples. We'll see that later on. So verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. All right? Go down to verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It's a tongue twister there. And it was so. All right? And then the next verse, and then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, let the dry land appear, and it was so. And so forth and so on throughout this Genesis, it says, it was so. He said it, it was so. It was so, it was so. Figures, he's emphasizing something. What I say is so. We got to get that in our brain cells, right? Now, look at Numbers 23. It's a very familiar verse, 23. Chapter 23, verse 19 of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So here we're focusing on the reliability, trusting in the reliability of God. Right? Trust in the Lord, right? So verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, shall he not do it? Rhetorical question, no answer needed. Be applied, you just know he will do it. Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Yes. Where do we see what he speaks and does? We see in his word. We can see all through the word, we'll see examples where he said and he did, said and he did, he spoke and he did. So we have to bring that home to us. Every time he says something, we know he's going to do it. No questions asked, without a doubt. So look at Isaiah, and up one more along this line, 55. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Okay, it says, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. See, when God sends his word out, it's going to do what he says it's going to do. What God, we heard this before, what God says was, is, and will be. Enough said, that's it. So he's God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and everything he says will come to pass. So that's it. Like, it's not the variable, it's the constant, if you're doing a little math problem here. It's a constant. God's the constant. The variable is us, right? Are we going to trust that every time he says something, he's going to do it? Seems like we trust the mailman. We throw the mail in the box, and then we don't sit there and worry, you know. Is it going to get there? Oh, you know. I don't hope. Hopefully, don't you know? They're very pretty good if you think about all the millions they touch. But that's where our responsibility lies. Now we're going to look at one more verse. We'll see it. Jeremiah, since we're right near Isaiah, Jeremiah, next book, 32. Very familiar, but this sort of like sums it all up here. Behold means check this out. Look at this. I am the Lord, the God, the same God, Elohim, the creator of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It's another rhetorical question, doesn't need an answer. We already know answers. No, there's nothing too hard. What he says will come to pass. There's nothing too hard for him. So it's established his reliability here. At least what he says, he's reliable. Now we have to see his track record, right? Aha, we got to see. He could say it, but it says God is not a man he should lie, so we shouldn't expect any failures here. Look at Joshua 1. Now we're going to see some examples. To verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. Okay. Verse 5 says, now this is after Moses died and Joshua was taking the lead over the children of Israel, and they're ready to go into the promised land. God's going to take them in. Now, so verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Right? Verse 5. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's words out of his mouth. Right? They don't come void. They're going to accomplish what he pleases. Right? Then he tells, that's his part. He says, I'm not going to fail you. Now here's Joshua's part. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now here's what you need to do. That thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper wherever you go. Then he tells them to how you're going to do to accomplish this by meditating on the word of God. Verse 8. Okay. So he tells Joshua what he's going to do. Tells Joshua what you need to do, and then everything's going to turn out the way I said it's going to turn out. So let's look at the end of the book, Joshua 23:14. So this is, we speed a little forward here. And this is Joshua speaking. Now he's going to be dying here in a little bit here. And he says, and behold, this day I am going all the way of the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing has failed. It says it twice. It's for emphasis, figure speech. Not one thing has failed that all the Lord your God spake concerning you. God said it. Joshua carried out his point, his responsibility. God brought it to pass. And we're going to see the pattern in God's word. God says things. We are to trust and believe him. And he brings it to pass. We don't bring it to pass. A lot of times we get the roles confused here. We think we have to bring it to pass. That's where the worry comes in and all this other stuff. Let's see. Look at 2 Kings. Let's look at Naaman over here. A little different example. 2 Kings 5. Samuel Chronicles, King's Chronicles. So it's backwards in reverse order in the alphabet. It's the only way I remember that. SKC. All right. So chapter 1. 5, I mean, I'm verse 1. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Wait, 5 or 5?
Second thing, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. All right. Let me clarify that. So in chapter 5, verse 1, Naaman was a captain and host of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So he had physical need. He was a leper, right? Back then, incurable disease. So we're going to fast forward to look at verse 9. So just to make this short, Naaman's wife had a maid and said, hey, there's a guy, there's Elijah, there's a prophet in Israel. He can deliver Naaman. So in verse 9, after a little miscommunication goes in between there, verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, now, before we go any further, so Naaman took all this time. He got the horses, the chariots, everything. So he's trusting that that information that he received, that he's going to get delivered. At least he's acting on it like he trusted. So look at verse 10. And Elijah sent a messenger saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again clean. Shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Pretty clear. Just go, do this, and you're going to be clean. That's pretty neat. He traveled all this way. He packed all the mules, the camels, and whatever he had to do. And he came all this way, and now he's getting the word how to get delivered. You think that he would be kicking his heels. Look at verse 11. But, see, so sets in contrast, right? But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. See, there's his problem. He thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord thy God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Then he starts rationalizing verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? Why can't I do this? So he turned away and went in a rage. So did he get his deliverance? No. He thought. He didn't just follow. He didn't trust. Like he just said, okay, you said I'm going to do it. That's trusting. The reliability of the word of man, of the man of God. See, he was questioning it. Well, maybe he should have did it this way. He didn't come out personally and do this, you know. Like he's, remember, he was a mighty man of valor. He probably had some pride in there that really held him back. So, and then verse 13, and his servants came and said, look, my father, if the prophet bid thee do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah, because you're a mighty, you know, you're a mighty man of valor. How much rather than when he said, just wash and be clean. It's simple. God's word's simple. Just do what he says. Don't complicate it. Don't bring your ideas. Don't try to help him out. All right? Then verse 14, then he went down, dipped 7 times to Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. That's the key right there. According to the saying, and his flesh came like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Just like the man said, if you do this, you're going to get that. He finally ended up doing it. Sometimes we come into those problems, right? That's why I brought this out. We have those mental problems. We try to figure it out. Well, maybe it should be this way. Maybe that. Don't figure it out. Just trust. Say, thank God. Thank you for it, for the answer, and go. Let's look at, well, look at Jesus. How about that? He's a good example. He's the man. He's the man. The ultimate believer. The ultimate example of believing, right? Of trusting his Father. Verse 19 of, chapter 5, John. John 5. That's good. Just make sure everybody's paying attention here. Trying to keep your interest here. That's it. Okay, John chapter 5, verse 19. I'll be clear next time here. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father do for that which soever he doeth, these also the Son doeth. So he looks unto the Father, what should I do in a situation? And look at verse 30. He reiterates, I can of my own self do nothing. Remember, God's got all the power. He's the God of all flesh. Compared to what we can do, right? It's pretty, you know, evident there. I can do of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. So he seeks God's will. How do you seek his will? Through his word. See, just like, I guess Naaman through the maid, she got the word from God and he went to Elijah. Right? What did Elijah say? He's the man of God speaking for God, right? This is the will of God. Do this. So we find the will of God through the word. And if you're praying and you don't get anything, start searching the word. And God will lead you, right? He says he'll lead you, the Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you in all truth, show you things to come. Well, it's a guarantee. So we have to do our part, right? The seeking. Jesus Christ sought. He wasn't just sitting there downloading, you know, information from God by doing nothing. No, he sought the will of the Father, right? To look at we'll look at Abraham here. Look at Romans chapter 4. Starting verse 16. That's a good one there. This is a key verse here. Sometimes we blow by this one. It says, therefore it is of faith or believing that it might be by grace. Now remember, it says, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, right? We stand in this grace by faith in Romans 5:1, right? So we get God's grace is already there. It's all done, right? Christ did everything, right? Kip did a great teaching. It's finished. Everything that God provided in Jesus Christ is already done back there, back then. It's there. It's on the table. It's like on this table for us to take it by faith. It's there. So we don't have to, God doesn't have to create it for us. We just got to take it. That's the grace, but we have the believing part is us. That's our responsibility. We just believe what he said. We believe that the letter is going to get there when we mail it. Think about that. Your prayers already answered. And you thank God for it. That's the next response, right? So, Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of believing that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all seed, not to only that which is of the law, but to also that which is of the believing of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. God makes alive the dead and calls things which not be as though they are. So God already calls it. He said, let there be light before there was light, right? He told, you know, Elijah, Elijah told Naaman he was going to be healed. It's guaranteed if you do this, right? So God always tells you ahead of time then and what's going to happen here. So, and that's believing. Believing isn't looking for things. It's just trusting what God says. It's not looking for the sign, you know, and all that stuff. And, well, that's a sign maybe, you know. This is a sign maybe move to here. Or, you know, you hear that a lot of times. Now, don't look for signs because you go into the ditch, basically. you'll get a sign, all right, yeah. You'll be led astray. Okay, so verse 18. Who? That's who, referring to Abraham, against hope. The hope his body provided for him. He was 99. Sarah was 90. Her womb was dead. His reproductive organs were dead. So who against hope? He didn't have any hope on the five senses realm, right? But he believed in hope, the hope that God gave him. He spoke. God told him words. Trust me. You believe that, you're going to get this, right? That he might become the father of many nations, and he believed according to that which was spoken. See, remember, we have to hear something from God. That's faith, words of faith to believe. We don't just wake up and, I'm going to believe this. You know, it's according to the word of God, right? And you can get words from God through prayer, of course. We know that. But he believed according to that which was spoken. But primarily we go to the word of God. What does he say about my situation? Is it physical? Is it getting a job? Is it getting something? Is it a marital thing? Or whatever. You know, I need some peace. You know, I need to get rid of my worrying. We go to the word of God. He has all the answers. And we just trust it. And don't, the next thought that comes in, you kick it out, right? If it's against the word of God. So, and then verse 19, and being not weak in believing, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, basically, he did consider. I mean, it was there, you know, but he didn't consider it to the extent that he's relying on the body to produce, right? You know, he wasn't oblivious that, you know, he was dead, she was dead, you know. And verse 20, so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being, see, fully persuaded what God promised, he was able to perform. Like we saw in Genesis, He said it, it was so. He said it, it was so. What God says is, right? So whatever he promises, he's able to perform. He already says we're righteous, so we are righteous. Don't matter what you feel like, doesn't matter what people tell you, you're righteous. Then we have to reinforce that by meditating on the word like Joshua did. Keep the word going in our eyes, in our ears, and coming out of our mouth. That's probably, at least on my part, it's got to come out of your mouth, too. It reinforces who you are. You speak it forth with boldness. So what about us here? Look at Ephesians 1:13. We're in the home stretch here. While you're turning there, another verse that I didn't want to go to, but you know about the centurion. Remember, he had his servant was lying grievously to the point of death, and he came to Jesus. He said, just speak the word only. That's it. Just speak it, and I know it's going to come to pass. And that's how we got to be. We got spirit in us. He didn't have no spirit. He was a centurion, red Roman centurion. We just got to believe, and we have the faith of Jesus Christ. We have the ability to believe like Jesus Christ did, that we can do it. So we got to get this mind out of the way. You got to keep the word in the mind. Get anything that's holding us back out. So Ephesians 1:13, we followed this process right here. In whom also ye trusted, and talking about in Christ in verse 12. When did you trust? It says, after you heard the word of truth. We heard, you have to hear something to trust. We heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you heard the word of truth, and then we are to believe it, then we were sealed. God did the sealing, right? So God gave us the word of truth. We considered it, and then we believed it, and we got born again, right? Romans 10:9-10. The word of faith, the word which you are to believe, right? And all these words are which we are to believe. Look at it in all Ephesians, all that stuff in there. How God loves us, we heard in the manifestations. If we really believe that, then you know he's going to do anything for you. It says in Romans, if God be for us, who could be against us, right? No one. And it's really emphatic, you know. If Christ, you know, is Christ going to condemn you? No, you know. So then it says we're more than conquerors. So let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to end in Proverbs and Psalms here. 3:5, because we went to trust in the Lord, right? We get the rest of the verse here. How? But it says right here, with all your heart, all, every part of it. There's no plan B, you know, like sometimes you have to hedge, you know, in certain things. Well, if this don't work out, I'll have this in place, you know, and if that don't work out, maybe I'll have plan C. You know? Let's just doubt throughout that, right? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. We trust in him by trusting his word. We get to know his name like we saw. We get to know his name through the word. We see his track record. We see how he loves us. We see what he thinks about us, what he's done for us, you know, through Christ Jesus. We see all that, and we just have to meditate on it until it becomes real, and it stays there, and nobody can talk us out of it, not ourselves mainly. And then the second part of verse is, and lean not to thine own understanding. See, lean is to rely. We don't rely on our own understanding. We don't want to be like Naaman. Like, I thought. God, you said this, but I think, you know. You said this, but no. Look at this situation. Looks like this. It looks impossible. No. God, with all things, you know, are possible with God when we believe what he says and we follow what he says. So don't lean to our own understanding. So we're going to end up in Proverbs 28:7. Should be our... We should wake up and say this every morning. I do. I read this every morning, this one. 28:7. Psalm. Did I say Proverbs? Yeah. Nah, see, I'm in the wrong book, too. You guys get me straight today. Right? Can't read my own writing here. Psalm 28, verse 7. Throwing you too many curveballs today here. So, verse 7 says, the Lord is my what? Strength and my shield. We make him our strength. Remember when it said the definition of trust? Firm reliance on the strength, faithfulness, and ability of someone, right? With our firm reliance on his strength, right? We make him our strength and our shield. Then it says, my heart trusteth in him. I am help. When you know you trust him, you know you're helped. You just know it. You're not hoping to be helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. This is a response. If you know you're really trusting and believing, joy. You rejoice because you know you got it. It's like, I got it. It's mine, right? Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. See, that's our cry. And the last verse I'll read to you in Psalm 46:1. See, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. See? Very present help. He's there with us. It's Christ, God and Christ in you, the hope of glory. We got it made. We got Christ in us. We got Holy Spirit. We got the Word. We just have to just do our part and just trust in him, like it says, and go to his Word, and then give everything to him. Amen?
Amen.